Yankees baseball is on. WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live from the Bill Fullerton Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the free Odyssey app, good Friday morning, a feel-good football Friday with so much going on. Congratulations to the New York Yankees, the AL East champs, going for that one seed still, so they got something to play for, but they have their champagne celebration finally after beating the Orioles last night, so you've got that. Of course, we've got our big general on sale for Boomer and Geo Live coming up at 8 a.m., so we'll explain about that coming up just a little bit more. The Mets and the Brewers start their series, critical for the Mets' playoff hopes. But last night, another Giants loss, another Giants loss to the Cowboys on national TV, another Giants loss to Dak Prescott. And to me, this was a huge blown opportunity for them. The Cowboys are not good. They weren't playing that well. It didn't feel like the blood in the water, flip the script stuff that we were talking about. Didn't feel like they had that mentality last night. And they didn't play poorly, but it just, I just come in here with a bad taste in my mouth that this was a Cowboys team that needed to be punched in the mouth by the Giants and trying to get their identity, and the Giants blew it. And they kept their hands tied behind their backs, and here we are now, 1-3. With a really difficult schedule coming up for them in what could be another lost season. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jim. Doing all right, man. I'm a little tired. Stayed up and watched this whole game and this flag fest of a football game that it turned out to be. And, you know, the replay assist was involved last night early on, and then they finally were explaining when they were using the replay assist. I guess they didn't use the replay assist on the face mask call on Bellinger earlier in the game. I mean, The way that they are officiating games is all over the place. I don't want to blame the officials. There were real penalties, and they were throwing flags on players that were playing poorly. But the Giants had every opportunity. They had the ball for over 36 minutes. They were doing everything offensively they needed to do to help their defense. You know, if that would have been reversed where the Cowboys had the ball 36 minutes, I think the Giants would have lost by 21 points. The Giants missed so many ample opportunities. This is the first time, believe it or not, in Giant history where they had two wide receivers that had at least 11 catches in the game. So Wandell Robinson and Malik Nabers, unfortunately, the last two balls that were thrown to them, they dropped. This is not on Daniel Jones. If I'm going to nitpick on Daniel Jones' performance, it will just be the deep balls that he threw and didn't have the opportunity to complete a couple because he underthrew them, especially the free one where Trayvon Diggs undercut him. He knew he had a free pass. He should just launch that thing and let Darius Slayton go get it. So there were a number of drop passes. I think when I read this morning and listen to Brian Daboll's comments about his quarterback, I think he's right. I think he's played three really good games, three winning games, or his performance gave his team a chance to win, but he's got to get his team into the end zone. But this was a lost opportunity without question. You know, this was also a game in which everybody said the Giants should be able to run the ball with their new offensive line, the fact that the Dallas Cowboys can't stop the run. Well, the Dallas Cowboys can't stop the run when Lamar Jackson's in the backfield.
Well, and Derrick Henry.
But, you know, Lamar completed or threw 18 passes against the Cowboys. I think he completed like 14 of 18 or whatever. But he ran for like 80 yards. You know, that's not Daniel Jones's game. Although he did run last night a few times, got out of trouble a few times. The Wandell Robinson drop pass looked like it was a catch and a fumble and it was almost returned for a touchdown that was obviously replay assist. It was an incomplete pass. You know, that play right there was a huge play in this game. The other huge play is where he's coming over the middle and he's being held and the ball hits him in the stomach and he doesn't hold on to it. And then, of course, the Malik Nabers on the sideline where Daniel throws the ball perfectly. And, you know, Malik is great. I think he's going to be fantastic. You can see it. But that's a play that he has to make on the sideline.
Well, he obviously gets hurt on top of it.
I know. I mean, like all that stuff. But those are like a couple of plays that I looked at and I said, you know, if those plays are made, they may win the football game because the Dallas Cowboy offense really wasn't on the field.
Yeah, and that's another one of these games that you look at within the division where you feel like they had outplayed their opponent like they did against the Commanders, but for one reason or another, they end up losing the game. They have more time of possession last night. You know, and also, I mean, why are you kicking a 22-yard field goal when you're the New York Giants against the Dallas Cowboys when you get down there?
I mean, why?
I just...
I'll tell you what, they had a chance to win the game because of all this.
But let's just talk about that for a moment.
Okay.
I think that's a critical point from last night. Because all of us, and we feel like we have a finger on the pulse of this fan base and this team and what they need and the history of this game. And they're down there. They have this long-ass drive. And they're sitting there on, what, the 4-yard line?
Yep.
It's fourth and goal from the 4. And Brian Daboll doesn't have enough confidence in his offense to go for that. I mean, those are the type of moments where you're like, if we're going to beat these guys, we gotta get the ball in the goddamn end zone right now, and I can't just be trotting out Greg Joseph again for a 22-yard field goal.
I know. There were 3 or 4 on fourth down. I understand what you're saying. I mean, the way that the game was being played out, the Giants had the ball at the end, and they could have won it at the end. They had 2 drop passes. And then of course, you know, I don't count the Hail Mary interception. That doesn't mean anything to me because they did get the ball back because Joseph missed. And thank you, Joseph, for missing. I was very happy about that.
Okay.
But I will say that I understand your frustration there. And if you want to get over the hump, you got to be aggressive. There were times where he was aggressive, I thought. And then there were times, you know, this is a coach that actually just lost the game 2 weeks ago to nothing but field goals.
Yeah.
So there's been a plethora of field goals and field goal attempts, by the way, early in this season. So you got Malik Neighbors, who you
don't have to throw him the ball in that situation, but he also commands a ton of attention. I mean, you've got a weapon that you haven't had when you've been the head coach of the New York Giants. I mean, to me, that was so frustrating. You obviously heard the fans in the crowd last night booing the decision, and That to me is a different Brian Daboll than we got used to in the first couple of years of him being here.
I have to sit here and say that watching the game last night, I didn't feel. I know we're thinking, okay, it's the Cowboys are going to put up a lot of points, and you know field goals are not going to do them any good. You know if they're going to lose 30-15, but that wasn't the case. They controlled the football. They controlled the game predominantly the entire game. We all knew that CeeDee Lamb was going to get involved because he was bitching and complaining last week.
Squeaky wheel spot.
And then, of course, gets a taunting penalty on his first touchdown. I thought he was supposed to, you know, rein in his emotions, but I guess not. But I think overall it's a frustrating loss because they should have won the game. I don't want to say should have, but they could have won the game if they make a couple of plays late in the game. And Daniel Jones put the ball where he needed to put it, and 2 guys who played well at football games both dropped the ball.
Yeah, I mean, at the
end of the game, which would have led, and I'm not saying that they would have scored a touchdown, but it would have kept the drive going, it would have kept them moving down the field, and then maybe ultimately Malik Neighbors is going to make a play. By the way, they have no tight end what to speak of right now. They're not even using that position. It's like everything is outside and everything. You know, they like everybody says, oh, you know, Malik Neighbors needs help. Well, Wandale Robinson had 11 catches last night.
Yeah, he was all over the place. That's the most he's been involved in a very long time. But just it's annoying. It's frustrating. It didn't feel like the Giants themselves had the same type of mentality that everybody had talking about this game. I mean, they played us in the beginning of the, you know, the open of Thursday Night Football. And talking about, you know, something I said, if you're going to get the Cowboys, you got to get them now. The things that you were talking about, how critical this was to change the narrative for. I mean, that's what we were saying in the open of this game. And they didn't play like that. They didn't.
I don't. You know,
fourth and goal on the four to finally beat those guys, the hated Cowboys, and beating that snot out of you for years and years and years. Outscored you 84-17 last year, and you trot out your backup kicker to kick a 22-yard field goal. Be aggressive. Throw the ball into the end zone, and no one's going to sit here and blame you for it. Think we'd take any calls about, oh, you should have kicked a 22-yard field goal? No. They said, hell, that's the stuff you have to do to be aggressive. I mean, what do you have to lose? I mean, you're gonna. Nobody expects you to be good anyway this year. You're 1-3. Be aggressive.
Yeah, I just think I think there's a point in time where a guy on the sideline is getting the feel of a game, and he doesn't want to come away with no points. Doesn't want to give the other team momentum. And we could sit here back and forth, and argue back and forth. You know, Brian Daboll's been a part of how many football games in his life?
Yeah, I know. But I.
And how many times has he had the opportunity to go for it? And last night he did go for it four times.
He did, but I mean, the one that was to me that just felt like okay, you know, we're just here to hang around. We're not here to win. We're here to hang around and see what happens.
This is the thing that happens. If you get blown out, it sucks. And then, you know, if you do get blown out, it's like, you know, you gotta at least give me a game. You got to be competitive. You got to look like you got fire in your belly. I actually thought, with the exception of the fact that the Giants couldn't run the ball at all, there were three plays where three different players dropped the ball, or two different players dropped the ball.
Yes.
And Wandale Robinson dropped two, and Malik Nabers dropped one. And if those three plays are made, you know, we're not sitting here. Maybe the Giants are winning, you know, 23-20, because I'm assuming they would have won for two after they would have scored a touchdown to take the lead.
Yeah, I just having them in your building with them reeling and dominating the time of possession, and to come out of that with a loss, and now you've got, you know, four straight games ahead of you where you're going to be an underdog. I don't know. When you're early on in the season and you're the New York Giants and you've got these opportunities to actually have some energy around your season, and you kind of you play like that. It's really disappointing. You know, disappointing.
Do you feel like the guys were slipping a lot last night?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
did you also feel like we saw a number of lower leg injuries again?
Yeah, well,
especially on the Cowboys side.
You had the
Marcus Lawrence.
You had two concussion situations, obviously, with Nabers and Parsons, which has nothing to do with the turf. But you had those two. You had DeMarcus Lawrence. You had Zach Martin.
Yep. I think it was another defensive lineman for the Cowboys. Be interesting to see what the injury toll is on a short week and on that field.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a story that's been going on for a while, and they haven't been able to figure that out. But, I mean, to me, you go from the energy that you got from the Cleveland Browns win, the victory over the Browns coming into this Thursday night game against your bitter rival, to now having all of that air out of the balloon again.
You know, here's where the frustration lies, I think, for the Giant fan. Since 2000, they've had five seasons where they have started their two home games to start that season where they have not scored a touchdown. And in back-to-back years, 23 and 24, it's the same thing. No touchdowns in the first two home games of the season. that's amazing.
That's
to me.
Bad teams are bad teams, right? I mean, I don't know. And I'm, as we say, you know, not Giants fans, but want them to do well. Want them to be a part of the discussion in the NFC East and in the conference. And I wanted them to win last night badly. And I felt like they had an opportunity, and it just shows you you can't trust them. You can't. The energy that they are lacking was coming from the head coach. It doesn't seem like it is as much. Wink's not there. He had a lot of energy. I know Shane Bowen's defense has been pretty good, but then you've got, you know, Huckleberry Finn as your quarterback. What are we doing?
You know, well, I mean, the last four home games that Daniel has started, it goes back to his two games prior to his injury last year. The Giants have lost by 40 points, 21 points, 22 points, and then last night 5 points, and they have not scored a TD in any of those four games. And I can't sit here and say that he didn't play well last night. I thought he played well if I, like I said, if I wanted to nitpick, it was a couple underthrown balls. Early on, he threw the ball on the wrong side of Malik Nabers, where, you know, the ball hit Malik, but it was like either inside or short or low.
But we're not evaluating a guy in his rookie season or year two.
Know,
we're trying to figure it out.
I understand.
It's like it's enough.
But I again, they had the ball for 36 minutes. And by the way, they only ran the ball for 26 yards on a team that has averaged 187 yards given up on defense the first 2 weeks of the season, 3 weeks of the season.
I mean, they in my
26 yards, they averaged 1.1 yard a rush.
I mean, that's pathetic, absolutely pathetic. And then, you know, Devin Singletary almost fumbles again. And I don't know what he's, I guess he's decided he's not going to wear gloves now because the gloves were the thing that was going to make him fumble. I don't know.
He didn't fumble. It wasn't a fumble.
I know, but he almost fumbled.
But it wasn't a fumble.
I understand, but he's been fumbling. But it wasn't. And now he's very, very close to being a fumble.
But it wasn't a fumble.
Yeah, but he's got a fumbling problem.
But it's
not a
fumble.
And they were going after him.
It was not a fumble.
Okay.
That's why they have replay.
Yeah.
That's why they have replay assist now.
Yeah. Yeah, you get really wrapped up in that. I don't think anybody cares.
No, but I'll tell you why I care, because I'm trying to think. It was the Dallas Cowboy touchdown, the screen pass to the left.
Yeah.
Early on in the game. Two flags came out. And before they went to commercial, Al Michaels said they were given a hand with replay assist. The referee, the head ref, did not say that until later in the game when he was starting to say, with help with replay assist. Yeah. But I was like, okay, what was the help with replay assist? What were the flags thrown for?
I mean, for years and years and years, we used to talk about stuff like this, about don't they have somebody somewhere that can look at this and see the replays that we say and change it? And now they're doing it.
They started a couple of years ago in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I don't mind it, but I'm just saying, what was the replay assist? Why did they make them pick up the flags? I still, at this point, don't know that.
Okay.
Now, later on in the game, when Wandale Robinson dropped the ball and they thought maybe it was a fumble and the Cowboys returned it, the referee got on and said, with replay assist, we determined that that is an incomplete pass. Okay, explain it. Fine. I didn't hear any explanation as to why replay assist got involved when flags were thrown and it was supposedly a holding against the Cowboys.
Okay.
And so that's the answer you're looking for. I still don't know what replay assist did on that play.
Okay.
And why was not replay assist used when they called a phantom face mask penalty on the Giants?
Totally bizarre. Got the wrong player, the wrong team. I mean, that was a momentum swing for sure when you're talking about a personal foul.
That was a killer.
Yep. All right. It's a feel-good football Friday. Another Giants loss, but we have a lot to get excited about. The Jets and the Broncos, the Yankees winning the AL East, the Mets with this series against the Brewers. We'll have our picks coming up. A ton of great stuff on this feel-good football Friday, despite another Giants loss to the Cowboys.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Boomer Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I want to get right to Jerry because there is a lot going on. You got a Yankee celebration, you got a Giants loss to the Cowboys, and more. What's up, Jerry?
All right, we are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Jack Pocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. The week started last night, as you know, MetLife Stadium. Not a whole lot of highlights to get to, but I'll give you a couple here.
First and 10, Dallas from their own 45. Prescott takes the snap. Giants bring pressure. He throws one left sideline. Lamb makes the catch. Gets away from Banks. He's to the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Cowboys. 55 yards.
Yeah, and if you missed it, that would have been, that was the last touchdown you would have seen on the night. Bob Popper with the call on the Fan. Made it 14-6 Dallas, and it was a field goal fest from there. The Giants did have the ball down 5 in the closing minutes or so. This might have been right around under 4 minutes left. Faced with a big play.
Jones takes the snap, back to throw. Nobody's open. Scrambles to his left. Rolling, now throws it to Nabers on the sideline, who made a catch. Did he get his feet in? The officials are saying yes. Now they're conferring. And now they say no, incomplete. And Nabers is down.
Yeah, and he was down
That was a really good throw by Daniel Jones. And had he held on to the ball, that would have been a first down.
Yeah, it would have been. He had his feet in and everything. The problem is he smashed his face on the turf and was concussed and went to the locker room, which was only minutes after Micah Parsons went to the locker room with an ankle injury. And then after that...
So Parsons had a stinger, as they were reporting during the game. And
that was during the game.
And then he had an ankle injury on top of it.
Correct.
So Zach Martin had a lower leg injury, right?
Zach Martin was an eye injury, I believe.
Yeah, I know you... Okay, all right. And then, what's his name? DeMarcus
Lawrence was a foot or ankle, yeah. It was a lot last night. It was a MASH unit, as they say.
The question is, it's Thursday Night Football. The field seemed to be a little bit slick because of the humidity. I saw a lot of guys slipping.
And it rained, I think, a lot leading up to the game.
And what is the, like, is it the field? Is it the Thursday night? Is it, you know, is the NFL going to come out and say, you know, was the normal amount of injuries in the game?
I mean, it's obviously both. We know that the turf has got issues, and we know that
even
playing
though they
in a
replaced
short week.
The turf.
Yeah, I mean, right. But it's still got issues. And Malik Nabers, you know, hopefully this isn't a serious miss a couple of weeks concussion, because you're going to take a 1-3 Giants team and take the only exciting player that they have on offense off of that team.
Oof. And he really is. I mean, the ball goes near him. You expect him to make a play.
Yep.
I mean, that's how good he is. But he was concussed. Here was Brian Daboll. 20-15 was the final. So after that play, the Cowboys wind up missing a 51-yard field goal, gave the Giants not much of a chance, but they did get the ball back, but that's how the game ends. Here was Brian Daboll. Five field goals. They had opportunities. They got in the red zone and never were able to cash in.
Yeah, we were 0-for-2 when we got down there. So, again, some of those were third down conversions where we had some opportunities to get there. I think we punted one time. Hit some fourth downs, but ultimately – you know, we threw out the ball out there to Wandell on the one, and they made a good tackle on him.
And I'm trying to find for you, because I'm with you, the fourth and goal from the four.
That was
right before the half, or the third quarter. Right. Yeah, great drive all the way down the field. Here was, here it is. Daboll was asked if he thought about going for it.
No, we were gonna go for points on that one. Yeah.
Why?
To get 3 points. I mean, it was a close game, so we didn't know what we need at the end there. But we were gonna kick it.
But like, doesn't the history play into it? I mean, that's my point of this. Is like we talked so much about how they needed to beat this team, and you don't do it by kicking 5 field goals.
Yeah, no. I just I think he was playing the game as the game was unfolding. I think he felt like the Giants' offense was holding the ball and keeping it away. And you know, CeeDee Lamb made one really big play.
You know, a 55-yarder.
I mean, yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. And they got him the ball a bunch of different times, but mm-hmm. And it wasn't like he was, other than that play, was he really that obvious? In other words, it wasn't like he had 15 catches for 275 yards and 3 touchdowns.
No, and not a whole lot in the second half.
Yeah, and a lot of that was because the Giants were controlling the football. They were playing defense by holding on to the ball, which, believe you me, with that defensive secondary that the Giants have against that passing attack, I thought they did a hell of a job getting off the field when they did, especially late in the game.
Here was Daniel Jones. He throws for 281 in the loss. Obviously, no touchdowns, as we know. You played a close game, and is that at least good?
We don't feel good about losing. We didn't do enough to win, and we're frustrated. We're not discouraged. I think we're still confident in our team and what we can do, but. No, we don't feel good about losing.
Stat we were talking about in the warm-up show, the Giants now 4-26 versus Dallas and Philly the last 7 years. Here's Darius Slayton talking about the big fourth quarter drop.
For sure, 100% got to make that. I make that, at least extends the drive. We got a chance at scoring right there, so you know, I take accountability for that.
And then, that's another one that was dry. It wasn't a great pass, but you know, these receivers have got to make those plays. That's what they get paid to make. Not every ball is going to hit you in stride. Not every ball is going to be up around your numbers. Sometimes you got to go down and get the ball.
Yeah, that is true. I actually thought that was a good pass because he threw it away from the defender on the inside to the outside, but so be it. Now, here's your guy, Mike McCarthy. Not pretty, but we got it done.
Winning is always a great thing, especially on the road. Road wins are the best division games. You can add another layer to it. So, yeah, we feel great about what we accomplished tonight, but I think it's, you know, for the fourth week in a row, we realize that we have a lot of work to do.
Yep, delaying the inevitable. Walking around here with a guillotine over my head.
Well, I'll tell you what, you keep getting called for 11 penalties every week. That's a problem.
Yep, still don't have a new contract. Lame duck. But for 1 week, I can breathe. But I still got that knife right to my back. Stephen Jones walks around the facility with a knife right just touching the skin of my back. And he's about to go right in there and stab me and kill me.
and then bring in Bill Belichick.
The Giants are in Seattle next week. The Cowboys will be in Pittsburgh next week. I believe that's Sunday night football. The Jets play the Broncos Sunday at 1. C.J. Mosley, how are we feeling?
Feeling pretty good. Just day-to-day with the toe injury, so not much I can really do or manipulate for that area. So just taking it day-to-day.
He did say he is preparing, though, as if he is going to play. We will see if that indeed happens or not. All right, to the stadium we go. Now, the Yankees failed in a couple of opportunities with the Orioles to close out the AL East. Well, last night, Giancarlo Stanton wrecked the game, and the Yankees had no issues.
Stanton with the bases loaded, one out. Swung on and ripped to deep right center field over Mullins' head. One hop off the Yankee bullpen wall. One run scores. Here's Judge. Two run score. Here's Wells. He scores. It is a bases clearing 3-run double for Giancarlo.
Made it 5-0.
You can sit on my face.
That was a sit on my face night for sure.
I always worry about when he hits a ball where he hit that one, whether or not he's going to pull his hamstring running the second base.
Right, yeah. He should have stopped at first.
I was surprised that he didn't stop at first.
He did have a double, and he did jog around the bases earlier in the game when he hit a home run. Yankees win 10-1. Here was the final out as the Yankees wrapped it up, as heard on The Fan with John.
Here's the 1-1. Ground ball to short. Volpe fields, throws to first in time. Ball game over. American League Eastern Division over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Yes, they do. 10-1 the final, and so they can have a nice, peaceful, easy weekend with the Pirates as they get ready for the postseason. Here was Stanton with Susan after the game. That's how you hit the baseball, Susan.
Nice to get the scoring going and continue it. Everyone's top to bottom. We scored 10 runs, so can't complain.
And here was one.
Shout out to Sit on My Face Girl. This one's for you.
He did not do that.
He didn't do it.
That would be funny if he did. Here was one. Soto on Yes. Nice wrapping things up.
That's what we tried to do since day one. I mean, it was an amazing feeling. I mean, getting those guys done, get the job done, and it's a great feeling right now.
And a big part of it was Garrett Cole, who really, I don't think he gave up a hit till the fifth inning, maybe even the sixth. Cole on the night, 6 2/3, 2-hit ball. Man, pitched with a lead. That was kind of cool.
I mean, it's big. Like, you know, if you want to get deep in the game against the Orioles, you're going to have to attack the strike zone. But, yeah, they hit home runs with the best of them. So having a little bit of a cushion just makes you feel, you know, like a solo home run doesn't beat you. So it was huge for G to come through there.
Yes. And Aaron Judge, another home run, is 58th, fifth in a row, at least five straight games with a homer after he had that drought. Here he was on MLB Network the night ahead.
Sometimes after clinching, a superstar like you might take a day off. What are your plans for the weekend?
Yeah, we're going to party hard, so I might take a day off. We'll see. We'll see.
Good for you.
Yes.
I like that answer.
Yeah. It's pretty good. Why not?
They all played, by the way, the day after they clinched a
in
playoff
Seattle,
spot.
Not Seattle. Where was that?
It was Seattle.
It was Seattle. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what I want to hear is I'm playing baseball, man. I'm here to win a World Series. Not I'm here to party. We didn't accomplish. We accomplished one of our goals, but that's it. We're on the way to the World Series. We want to win the World Series. I'm playing tomorrow. I want to hit 60 home runs. That's what I want.
That's not what he said.
Yeah. It's not, unfortunately.
Celebratory cork.
Yeah, everybody's getting cork.
They did have that last night, yes. You got Carlos Rodon tonight. The Yankees take on the Pirates. Now, the Mets will be in Milwaukee. Here is your scenario going into the weekend. They lead Atlanta by a game for the third wild card, tied with Arizona for the second wild card, but I guess percentage points ahead of them. The Diamondbacks will play the Padres this weekend. The Braves get the Royals. In L.A., the Padres wound up losing to the Dodgers, who wrapped up the West.
Nothing in two, the count on the number 9 hitter, Higashioka. The pitch from Kopech. Poked beyond the infield. Shallow right field. Taylor calling for it. And still, National League West division champions.
Yeah, 11 times in
That's
12
how you
years.
Celebrate. You celebrate like you've been there before.
Oh, they're there a lot.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact.
I bet you Ohtani plays tomorrow.
That was he might. He wants to go. Yeah.
The Dodgers always win the World Series. So
that they have not done.
Just that one COVID year, and Justin Turner went out there without a mask with COVID, and everybody got on him.
I forgot about that whole thing. Yes, for the celebration afterwards. That is right, because he was called in and then came back out.
Hey, who's going to beat the Dodgers this year? What do you think it's going to be? It's always
Yankees.
Somebody. No, in the National.
Oh, in the National.
Yeah, in the National.
The Mets.
Okay,
the Mets.
Mets. I like that.
Could be the Mets. And it was time to say goodbye in the Bay Area, in Oakland, for the A's.
Now the 1-2 pitch. Here it is by Mason. He turns, he's ready, he throws, and it's swung on and hit to third. He was left up with it. Schumann, he turns, he throws, and the A's have won it. Mason Miller slams the door on the Rangers as the curtain comes down on 57 incredible years of A's baseball at the Coliseum.
Yeah, 57 years, and that they go to Sacramento next year to play in a minor league stadium, and then we'll see after that. They're supposed to be in
The Warriors left Oakland, went to San Francisco. The Raiders left Oakland twice, maybe three times, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
They go to Las Vegas. And everybody's holding the A's like, you know, these are the worst people in the world for leaving. And
well, didn't they do this with the Raiders, too? When they went, like, the Warriors won. They went to San Francisco. They're 20 minutes away.
Still, they left Oakland.
They did, but I feel like they did this with the Raiders, too, when they went to Vegas.
He wanted a new stadium. I understand the economics of it all. What can I tell you? The stadium is antiquated. It's been around forever. It's one of the reasons why the Raiders left. They couldn't get a new stadium built. I mean, you know, there's just the political will is not there to work with professional sports teams in California to build stadiums. That's basically what it comes down to.
Yes. So they're gone. And the White Sox won again.
Amazing.
They're sitting on 120 losses. They got three games to go. Yeah, they're playing their best baseball of the season now this final week. So we will see what happens this weekend.
Are they playing Detroit?
I don't know the answer to that.
They are playing Detroit. And Detroit's still in the mix here.
Very much in the mix. I think Minnesota lost again last night to Miami. Let's see here. Yeah, Miami won in 13 innings last night. So the Twins have fallen three back with three to go of Minnesota and Kansas City.
And Detroit.
Twins of Detroit and Kansas City. Minnesota.
That's what I said.
No, you said Minnesota and Kansas City.
Oh, sorry.
Detroit has won five in a row.
Yeah.
And they just swept the Tampa Bay Rays. And now they play at home against the Sox.
There you have it.
That'd be great for Detroit to make the playoffs.
Man. They're going to make the playoffs.
And Kansas City, by the way.
Yes, absolutely. And Rutgers home for Washington tonight.
Right, yeah, on big one.
Yeah, it is.
It's not,
it is.
Well, it's standalone.
Not really standalone on Fox. There is a game on ESPN, I think, University of
Miami.
That's
right. That's right. You are right about that. Yeah, we did that earlier. Yeah, I can just hear Chris Carlin now going, "Call me the guy." I like when he does that.
The crap ball.
What's Kyle that? Menungay! They're running back, Kyle Menungay.
Yeah.
One of the best in the country.
Yeah.
And he breaks through Menungay! Touchdown, Kyle Menungay!
I hope he's saying that a lot tonight.
Yeah.
66-yard touchdown! Kyle Menungay!
Come on.
It's great. What are you talking about? Come on. It's what it sounds like. He gets all fired up.
He has passion. There's no question about that.
And it's just a perfect name for Carlin to be yelling.
By the way, I did not listen to Phil Simms last night. Do we have any Phil Simms cuts from
last
night?
No, but I'll give
broccoli,
you
broccoli, onions.
Push formation, everybody inside Kelly Aquinas. Hands it off. Going left is Menungay.
Don't
know. That's nice.
Okay. All right. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough Studios.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. A Feel Good Football Friday, a special Feel Good Football Friday, because the general on sale for Boomer and Geo Live, We Give Thanks at the Paramount, will be happening this morning at 8 a.m. So the rest of the tickets that were not made available yesterday with the presale will be available. You don't need a code today. And we're very excited about this one as we go back to the Paramount. The first one there at the Paramount was a huge success. So we're excited to get back there. And if you're not familiar with what Boomer and Geo Live is, it's a show at night that is off air. It is on stage. It is uncensored. It is different than what we give you here in the morning, with a lot of stuff that we do give you in the morning from an entertainment standpoint. We don't go up there and talk about how to beat a cover two. We do a lot of entertaining things, and you see us in stages. God bless you. You see us in... Are you getting a cold?
No.
Okay.
Why?
Yeah, you've been sneezing in your office, too. You had a lot of sneezes in your office.
Really?
As I was getting makeup, a lot of hot chewing. I'm just a little, you've carried it in here.
I think there's some dust around here.
Okay.
That's what I think.
All right, good.
The place stinks.
It's true.
And, you know, there's like, it smells like feet.
You're right. Okay, you're not getting a cold. It's definitely the feet dust that's in here, and I believe that. So this is it's such a fun show. The Paramount is a great venue. So the rest of the tickets general on sale at Ticketmaster. So all you have to do is go to Ticketmaster, go to Boomer and Geo, and you'll see everything right there and all different levels of tickets. There's some platinum VIP tickets that include a meet and greet and a gift and a whole thing. This is we love this. And if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you're seeing Sean Morash sing All I Want for Christmas Is You wearing a diaper. And then there's a little Boomer there clapping, and we're all having a great time. Zoo and Gallo dressed as elves. So we'll have a different edition this time, and it'll be great. So it's brought to you in part by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. So 8 a.m. we'll be doing that. I've always been very critical about these national days. This is something that like a decade ago started, and it's really just a way to get people to go out and spend money on certain things. I'll be like, oh, it's National Margarita Day. Let's go out, which is fine. I'm all about growing the economy and all that stuff. That's what it is. But today,
I wish everybody else was.
today,
yes.
You told me that it's an extra special to our heart type of day. And on Boomer and Geo Live General on Sale Day, I think this is perfect.
That's right. Today is Morning Show Host Day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking
about. It's National Morning Show Host Day, September 27th.
It's a day dedicated to getting to know the personalities behind your favorite morning show.
Uh-huh.
Morning show hosts are picked for a variety of reasons, so the day offers a great opportunity to appreciate the extra zing morning show hosts bring to their shows. You can also learn about the history behind morning shows and how they came into their present forms and whether or not somehow, some way, they'll find themselves on the Mount Rushmore of their radio stations.
Extra zing.
Yes.
That's what we're looking for this morning.
Extra zing is right.
Extra zing. Let's go to our friend Conrad in Cherry Hill. Wants to talk some Giants from last night. Good morning, Conrad. How are you?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I completely agree with everything that you're saying this morning. Hey, Gio, last week you gave out game balls. So this morning I want to give a couple of knock balls, okay? So the first knock is going to Coach Dable. You are completely right on with that call. When they go for that field goal, that second field goal right there, you got to go for the touchdown. There is no reason for that. The second knock, Booms, I agree with you. Jones played a good game, but that goes again with key decisions and key moments. On that free play, he got to give Slayton a better ball. And the other deep ball, Slayton is going into the end zone if Jones put a better ball there. And that's the problem that I have with him. Those decisions, he got to pull through. And the third knock ball go to the defense. Even though the stats is showing that the offense, the Cowboys offense wasn't on the field for that long, but when they were on the field, it kind of felt like they just did what they needed to do to win the game. When they needed to run the ball to get a first down, they did. When Dak needed to make a throw for the first down, he did it. For a touchdown, he did. So the defense against, to me, fell short for this type of game, even though the offense could have done better, and I think the offense did. But again, I think Daboll was, trigger, he was shy to pull the trigger with Jones around there because I think that Jones is liable for to make a big mistake. Even though I think if he have another quarterback that he has faith in, he's going for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point, right, Conrad. Yeah,
Conrad's, I mean, he's on it, but here's the thing. Slayton drops a ball. Wandell Robinson drops two balls. And, Malik Nabers drops the ball on the sideline, ends up with a concussion. I mean, those are four throws that, should have been completed. And, Daniel, when you look at the overall night of what he did, I thought he was obviously very effective because they couldn't run the ball worth a crap. I mean, they averaged 1.1 yard running the ball against a team that had given up 187 yards per game on the ground in the previous three games. So that's part of it. I thought the pass protection was good. I thought Daniel got away from a couple, a couple pass rushers. The amount of flags that were called against the Cowboys and were enforced against the Cowboys was a significant part of this game last night. I think they had 11 penalties for almost 90 yards. So those were big penalties. No turnovers by the Cowboys, which is unfortunate. But then again, they weren't on the field very long. And that's because Daniel Jones was completing passes either on third down or fourth down to continue to hold on to the ball. Look, it's frustrating. There were a number of plays that could have been made that weren't. And there were a couple drops that should not have been dropped that would have been first downs and would have given them a chance to score late in the game. And I think that's the kind of game that Brian Daboll was playing. I know that part of me says, yes, I understand. We haven't beaten these guys. Dak Prescott has owned us since he's been there. Let's go after them. Let's go after the jugular and let's go for it. But then you're assuming that you're making it. If they don't make it, then what happens?
No, it's not. You're not assuming that. And that's why I said I don't think that anybody would have had a problem with that, or the majority of Giants fans wouldn't have had a problem with that, based on the reaction of the fans in the crowd that night. You know, you wanted to see them be aggressive. Now, they might have had a problem with the execution. You know, maybe it might have been another drop. Daniel Jones might have had a bad throw. They might have had a sack, and there would be a problem with the execution, but not the call. You know, the call was should have been aggressive. Fans wanted to see him go for it in that situation.
Hey, they went for it on fourth down. They hit Malik Nabers on a slant route inside of Trevon Diggs. That was great. That was aggressive. I mean, I know what Giant fans are frustrated by. They don't see, like, all the big plays that, you know, other teams have, especially, you know, when you watch some of these top-end quarterbacks, like with CeeDee Lamb. You know, they had a big play with Nabers, but it didn't go for a touchdown. You know what I mean? Early in the game. Double move, wide open, ball's kind of like behind him, a little bit underthrown. Maybe if that ball's out in front of him, maybe he's able to keep his speed up and able to run it into the end zone.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Quick break. Get back to your Giants reaction coming up on this Feel Good Football Friday. We will get to the Jets, the Yankees, and the Mets as well. Hey, remember we were joking about who around here would make the best sperm donor.
Okay.
Well, it's a real thing.
Make me.
Thousands of families have been created using donor sperm.
Sperm.
And right now, California Cryobank is looking for guys to earn up to $1,500 a month.
Spunk. Spunky.
As a sperm donor.
Splooge.
Don't let the name fool you. They actually have a location right here on Lexington Avenue.
Spank buildup in the corner.
And many others across the country.
Rub it out.
If you're 19 to 38, healthy, able to work in the U.S., you could earn some great money.
Jizz.
Up to $1,500 a month. To learn more, just go to spermbank.com.
Spermbank.com.
That's right. The chance to earn up to $1,500 a month as a sperm donor.
Spermbank.com.
Check it out.
Welcome back, Eddie.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.